Good morning, Sower Nation. It is Sunday, December 28th in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm Tara Beth Leach, and this is your wake-up call. It is the Lord's Day. Let mercy wake us up. I don't know where you are. Maybe you're still under the warm covers. Maybe you're driving to church. Maybe you're getting ready. But wherever this call finds you, I pray that Christ's light would indeed shine upon you. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ's light will shine on you. My friends, this is going to be a good day. Why? Because we are going to begin by consecrating ourselves to the Lord. What a better way to begin. As I've said before, His mercies are new in the morning. There is just something about that. Have you ever had a rough day, and you wake up the next morning, and that anxiety that you went to bed with is gone, and you feel fresh? That's why it's so important for us to give our first fruits to God. We offer up God our minds as they are a blank slate. And I know it's so tempting. We often let these devices set the agenda of our day, impact our emotions and set our intentions. But here you are. Here you are. You're allowing God to set your agenda. You're allowing God to set your intentions, which is why I called a great morning. You know, for me, I know Great Morning is an acronym that stands for gratitude, reflection, exaltation, asking, and trusting. But great is also true in that it's great because we began the day with God. And that's what we're doing. We're beginning the day with God. So let's do that. Let's offer up a prayer of consecration to our Lord Jesus. I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you, and I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Praying in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We're just a few days away from the new year. The countdown is on. We're already setting our intentions. As I said to you, my word for the new year is awakening. I just want more awakening. I want more outpouring. I want more presence. I want to walk in the presence and the power of Jesus. I want in the areas where I am sleepy, in the areas where I am not aware of the presence of God, I am praying for awakening. And so we're going to continue to talk about that. We're going to continue to look at individuals in Scripture who were awakened. And today we're going to look at Matthew, the tax collector. And we're going to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. An incredible text, an incredible text. So let's open up our Bibles, or you can also follow along on the guide. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does this teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord. This is an incredible text. This is another one of those instances in the Gospels where Jesus is eating. We need to pay attention when we come across a story where Jesus is eating. One of my mentors, Professor Dr. Scott McKnight, said that Jesus eats and drinks his ways through the Gospels. And any time Jesus eats, he is actually making a declaration of the kind of kingdom that he is coming to establish. And usually it's subversive. And usually it causes the religious elite around him to dispute him, to question him. But Jesus is making a stunning declaration every single time Jesus eats in the Gospels, and this is one of those instances. So Matthew, a tax collector, is sitting at the toll booth, and this is not just a job for him, but this is an identity for better and for worse. This was an identity and label that was also placed on him. We don't know why he became a tax collector. Was it a family business? Was his dad a tax collector? Was it his only choice? Did he have no other way? Was he coerced? Was he forced? We don't know, but we also know that tax collectors had a bad reputation. They would line their pockets with extra cash and often steal from the poor and the vulnerable. And so he was considered to be a traitor. The religious elite frowned upon tax collectors. They were sinners. They were evil. They worked for Rome, and they became wealthy by taking more than what was required. And so he would have been labeled, dismissed, and written off. But Jesus does something stunning. He sees him. He notices him while he's in his sin, while he's actively sinning, while he's actively asking for too much money, while he is actively doing something that is considered to be evil. And Jesus notices him and beholds him and stops. And as he does that, he sees through the labels. He sees through the sin, and he sees into the person. And while Matthew is actively sinning, two words change everything. Follow me. Now, what's stunning about that is Jesus didn't say, clean yourself up first, repent first, get baptized first, change from your wicked ways first. How about 2 months of probation and then you can be in my presence? Or go and return everything that you have stolen and give it away, give it back. But instead, he just simply says, follow me. Not fix your life first. But Jesus calls Matthew while Matthew is still sitting in the place everyone associates with his sin. Huh. And Matthew gets up and he follows him. He is experiencing awakening, an awakening to mercy. It is mercy that is waking him up. And then he goes and he has dinner with him. And as they're eating, other sinners came to join Jesus at the table. Now, again, fellowship in the ancient world meant access. It meant belonging. It meant that you were accepted. Jesus is not endorsing sin here, but what he is he's extending belonging that leads to repentance. Jesus is extending a boundary-breaking kind of love. And he does this in not just an accidental way, but instead this is an intentional table fellowship. He is extending belonging that will lead to repentance. And the Pharisees around, of course, they're frustrated. This is one of the reasons that Jesus ended up on the cross, because they had so many different problems with the way Jesus was living. They felt as though he was endorsing sin. And they wonder, what is he doing? Why is Jesus associating with them? But Jesus answers a metaphor about healing. He says, it's not the whole that need a physician, but instead, it's the sick. In other words, I am not here to curate a clean religious image. I'm here to get work done. I'm here to bring about salvation. I'm here to establish my kingdom. I'm here to heal. And then Jesus quotes Hosea, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. This line is a firecracker. It's offensive. It flies in the face of religious acceptability, because Jesus is essentially saying, I don't want your religious performance. I don't want your show. I don't want you to put on the appearance that you have it all together while ignoring others who could experience salvation. You see, religious performance can be a way of avoiding God. It's like the one who beat his chest and said, thank you, God, that I am not like one of those sinners. And then on the other hand, you have the sinner that says, please, God, forgive me. Religious performance can be a way of avoiding God, because we're not allowing ourselves to be vulnerable and open before God. It's a way of staying in control, a way of just working to keep reputations intact. But mercy does something different. Mercy requires proximity. Mercy requires humility. Mercy requires that we admit, I'm not whole without Jesus. But here's the wake up. Here's the awakening. Mercy isn't earned. It's received. And then mercy from out of that becomes a way that we live. Do you see? Jesus extends mercy to us while we were still yet sinners. Christ died for us, as Paul says. We don't have to get our lives together first, but instead mercy is here today. Today. Where in your life are you needing mercy? And where have you been trying to cover up your life with religious performance as if you are trying to impress God? Where in your life are you wanting freedom? For Jesus says, I've not come to call the righteous. I've not come for the healthy, but I've come for the sick. This call is real. Transformation in this story is real. Mercy is powerful, and mercy actually calls Matthew out from a life of sin and into a life of following Jesus. So I wonder, Sower Nation, what's your tax booth? In other words, what is the place that you sit when you feel stuck? What's a tax booth that you've been trying to keep from God? What in your life is keeping you from fully following Jesus? And not only that, who's at your table? Or who have you refused to sit with? You see, mercy isn't just about our own salvation, though that is a gift. Today we can experience mercy. Today we can experience healing. Today we can experience salvation. Today you can experience that freedom that you have been praying for. Today, and also because of the mercy that we have been given, we too are called to extend mercy. Who in your life do you need to extend mercy to? Who might God be calling you to extend mercy? I would imagine that someone's already been brought to mind, and you're thinking, not that person, anyone but that person. I often say that the Holy Spirit is like a highlighter, just highlighting the things that the Spirit wants us to hear, wants us to see, wants us to know. If no one's coming to mind, perhaps you need to ask the Lord to bring someone to mind, because I believe that there is someone in your life that needs mercy from you today, that needs that phone call, that needs that text from you, that needs that invitation to a meal, that needs your forgiveness, or perhaps needs forgiveness that, or perhaps you need their forgiveness. That needs reconciliation? Who needs mercy today? Jesus said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Maybe it's time for us collectively to be on our knees praying for mercy so that we can be a people that extend mercy. So here's a few questions I want to invite you to reflect on. What label have you been carrying that Jesus may break in you? That Jesus might call you to leave? What is one booth that you need to rise from that's a pattern or a posture or an excuse? And then who might God be calling you to show mercy to today? So let's close in prayer. Jesus, thank you for mercy. That while we were still yet sinners, you died for us. We thank you for healing. We thank you for wholeness. We thank you for freedom. And so, God, I pray that you would open us up to be mediators of love and mercy and justice and healing in a weary world in such a way that the people of God would be known as an island of mercy in a world of misery and squalor and pain and darkness. God, I pray that our churches would be an island of mercy, our homes an island of mercy. that the marginalized, that the invisible, that the hurting would find healing today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm always so grateful to be with you. I'm excited for our closing hymn, It's Just As I Am. What an incredible song. Just as I am, without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, just as I am. Isn't that such good news? Jesus invites us to come just as we are. You don't have to pull your life together first. But following just requires taking that one step, and then the next, and then the next. And as we behold and keep our eyes on Jesus, Jesus will help us to be doers and extenders of mercy. And so sing that song. Dan Wilt is going to be leading us. As I mentioned, not even my mama wants to hear me sing. You don't want to hear me sing. That's just for me and the car. But open yourselves up to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to invite you in just as you are. So sow our nations today. Let's get our seeds together. Let's get these seeds. And we are going to show love today by practicing mercy in one concrete way. Find someone. Find someone to send mercy to. Offer a sincere apology. Open space for someone who feels outside. And let's get our seeds. And it's time to sow for an awakening. So, beloved, thank you so much for trusting me. We have a few more days together until the new year. For the awakening, I'm Tara Beth Leach, and I'll see you on the field.
Thanks so much, Tara Beth. Today we're going to worship with the hymn, Just As I Am. It's hymn number 509 in our Great Redeemer's Praise, and we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 together. Let's worship.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive with welcome pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. Well, blessings today, and we'll see you on the field.